It's always great to be at GES and be around Free Grace people. As Bob says, go a lot of places. There aren't any Free Grace people. So it's so great to be around you all, you know, and I don't have to hide what I believe and stuff like that. No, I don't hide it when I believe over there, when I'm over there, but it's nice to be able to be up front. Y'all know what we're talking about, and it's just great to be here. Great to be a part of GES. Great to see everybody. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for eternal life and our Savior. Thank you for GES and the work that is doing literally around the world. Thank you for all the people here. And we just pray that this conference will be a time where we can meditate on your word and learn from each other and take the things that we learn here and spread the good news of all that Christ has done for us and of his coming kingdom and rewards and everything involved with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bob mentioned in the introduction that forgiveness of sins is a big issue. He also mentioned that not all the speakers agree on everything. And I will tell you that when it comes to forgiveness of sins, handout? Oh, yeah, the handout's in, there's a handout in the package, yeah, if you want to take notes, yeah. And the forgiveness of sins is a big issue, not only what I'm going to talk about, but also I found just in recent years, talking even with Free Grace people and talking to people, this is something that I don't think we've really worked out all the details on. Or I think maybe we just assume things about the forgiveness of sins that maybe we all don't agree on. But I'm not going to talk about a lot of these things because there's a lot of issues. In fact, there's two breakout sessions that are dealing with forgiveness of sins. Catherine is doing one of them, I know. And so there's a lot involved with the forgiveness of sins. But what I'm going to deal with is the issue of evangelism. When it comes to evangelism, is it okay simply to say, I believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins? Is that sufficient? Is that the same thing as believing in Jesus for eternal life? And Bob mentioned one of the issues on that, and it is that there are a number of people who say if a person believes in the forgiveness of sins, that's enough. You don't have to mention eternal life. They don't have to know they have eternal life. They don't have to believe they have eternal life as long as they believe that they have the forgiveness of sins. And so basically what I'm going to be talking about is that a proper evangelistic message? Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Are those the same thing? Many would say yes. In fact, I would say probably, I don't know, it's an unscientific survey, but I would say most would say yes. That if you preach the gospel and you say, Jesus will wash your sins away. Jesus will forgive you of your sins. However you want to word that, that is a completely acceptable and that is a biblical gospel presentation. We hear it in gospel presentations all the time. Not just in the States, but overseas as well. In fact, again, I haven't done a scientific survey of everybody, but I would say that's probably the most common way that I hear the gospel presented. Bob mentioned that I like to study Spanish and I like to listen to it because of some of the countries I go to. And when I listen to Spanish sermons, it's the same thing. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. What's interesting is it's very rare, very, very rare that you ever hear eternal life or you'll live forever or you'll be in the kingdom forever. But you'll hear the forgiveness of sins. again, it's much more common. And this is the things you'll hear. Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you believe that, then you're saved. You're eternally saved. And you'll hear people say, my sins have been forgiven. And of course, there's many other phrases that you'll hear people use in this regard concerning the forgiveness of sins. And of course, one of the most famous or one of the most popular passages they'll refer to is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And many, many times I've heard people say, this is the place where Paul most clearly gives the gospel that he preached to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And you all probably know these verses. Paul says, this is the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And here it is. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So in this passage of Scripture where Paul talks about the gospel that he preached, he talks about Christ dying for our sins. Do you notice he doesn't mention eternal life there? He doesn't mention living forever. And many will point out, they'll say, Paul says his gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He doesn't say anything about eternal life. So what if somebody believes that Christ died for my sins, therefore I have forgiveness of my sins? But I don't believe in eternal life. I don't believe that I have it. I don't believe I have assurance of it. So this is an acceptable gospel. In fact, I guess many would even say it's the preferable gospel. And maybe that's why we hear it so often, not just in the States, but in lots of other places as well. And so people will say, if a person believes that in Christ, because Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, their sins are forgiven, that's sufficient. They're a child of God. Even if they don't believe that they have eternal life, or even if they believe they got to work in order to have eternal life, as long as they believe that they're sins are forgiven. Now, just on a side note, let me just say that because I'm not going to be talking about this, but in 1 Corinthians 15, the good news that Paul is talking about is the physical resurrection of Christ, and he's talking about rewards. He's talking about being saved at the judgment seat of Christ, of being healthy at the judgment seat of Christ. The problem at Corinth was, and remember, Paul's talking to believers here, there were some in the church who were saying the physical body's not going to rise. So this is not an evangelistic message that Paul is talking about. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15 and the context throughout that chapter. So again, what I'm arguing here is that most people, when you hear the gospel in whatever country you're in, it's going to be, you're more likely to hear this, that your sins are forgiven. Your sins are washed away. And again, not very scientific, but I just did a survey of different gospel tracts and commentaries and people I hear on blogs. And here's just some examples. I'm going to give you, I think I got four examples here. By the way, and they will say, and Bob mentioned this, even in free grace circles, you don't need to believe in Jesus for eternal life. You may not even be aware of that concept, as long as you understand your sins are forgiven in him. So here's some examples that I found out. Oftentimes, that's another thing I've noticed about this. And when you hear this gospel presented, you'll hear them talk about forgiveness of sins, but very, very seldomly do you hear anybody say you have eternal life in him. So here's some examples. And again, I just got these off different gospel tracts and everything. Here's the gospel presented in these things. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart. Got that off a gospel, an evangelical gospel tract. Notice, just in passing, some works involved in here as well. I'm willing to turn from my sin. Throw in a little sinner's prayer in there too. I now invite Christ into my heart. And this is considered an acceptable gospel presentation. Do you notice there's nothing about assurance there? There's nothing about eternal life there. And that's common. You'll see that a lot. Another example I found. In the cross of Jesus, God has already dealt with that sinful past. He offers to us freely the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm not sure about this particular gospel tract, but I think whoever wrote it is probably implying that you had a sinful past, and once you believe in Him, He's going to clean up your life. I don't know that, but just on experience, that's probably what's happening here. Another example. All of us are sinners. God, in His great mercy, sent His only Son to save us from our sins. As the gospel says, His name is Jesus, because He is one who is to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. I would wonder if that's not directed to the nation of Israel. I don't wonder. I know it is. It's directed to the nation of Israel. But that's a little sidebar there. Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sins. As He said to the Pharisees, the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And that's with the paralytic man who was lowered through the roof in Mark 2. Just passing on that, or just in passing on that, that is a fellowship issue with that guy, not a salvation issue with him, a salvation from hell issue. Another example. We need to be forgiven by God in order to be saved. Jesus' blood is the only way for this to happen. Here's more works involved. We must humble ourselves and forgive others in order to receive forgiveness. And you can see where this is coming from, because when the scripture says, if you don't forgive others, neither will you be forgiven. Well, if you have to be forgiven of your sins in order to make it into the kingdom of God, if you don't forgive others, then you can't be forgiven. Therefore, you're not going to be a part of the kingdom. But if you are able to receive that forgiveness by forgiving others, then you're good. But you can see there's works there. Will you accept God's forgiveness? And again, reading between the lines here, that's something that I need to do as well. There's a work here. So, I also want to say just in passing that all of these gospel presentations that deal with the forgiveness of sins, usually behind them, there's also this idea of you need to recognize you're a sinner. And so this brings in another part of the gospel presentation, that I need to get you to understand that you're a sinner and you need to be saved from your sins. You need to be forgiven of your sins. And so it's just another way of introducing something else that I need to do in order to be saved. And it's very easy then to introduce into the gospel presentation something like, you need to feel sorry for your sins. You need to repent of your sins. And then what does repentance mean? Well, it means turning from your sins. So this is just another way why, when Bob says this is really important, just, I would encourage you, when you hear gospel presentation, just listen to these things and try to figure out what's being said there. But it's not just evangelicals in general that believe this, that the forgiveness of sins is an acceptable gospel presentation. Even some folks in what we would call wider free grace circles believe this, or they'll teach this. Again, even some free grace people say it, that the unbeliever can receive eternal life if he believes a number of different things. For example, if the unbeliever believes that he's redeemed, if the unbeliever believes that he's been reconciled, if the unbeliever believes that he has the forgiveness of sins, this is an acceptable gospel presentation. Again, even from people who are more broadly free grace people, they'll say that. You don't have to tell them about eternal life. They don't have to believe in eternal life as long as they believe one of these other things, such as the forgiveness of sins. As one of them told me as I was having a conversation, as long as they believe they receive something from Jesus. So if I believe that Jesus forgives me of my sins, I believe that I'm receiving something from him. Even if there's works involved in that to some degree, repentance to some degree as well. And one of those things is the forgiveness of sins. If you preach that and an unbeliever believes that, then they're okay. And so a biblical presentation of the gospel would be, according to this view, believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you believe that? And if the person believes that, then even if they don't believe they have eternal life in him, they do. They have it because they believed that they have the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. Now, what are the problems with this view? I'm going to suggest there are four problems, but my guess is there's a lot more than four problems. But I'm going to talk about four as I see them. And here they are. Eternal life and the forgiveness of sins are not the same thing. They're not. And we'll talk about that. I would also say that the Gospel of John disagrees with this, and we'll talk about that as well. There's also some practical issues involved with presenting the gospel this way. And then finally, it's confusing. When you present the gospel, like if you remember those four gospel tracts I gave you, that's very confusing stuff there. You know, humble yourself, forgive others. What is it that you're asking me to do in order to receive this forgiveness of sins? So, first thing I want to talk about is problem number one. Eternal life and the forgiveness of sins are not the same thing. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. There's a lot of good stuff on GES's website. A lot of free grace guys have written a lot about this. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, a verse that you're probably very familiar with, Peter says, he said to them, Acts 2:38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter is offering them the forgiveness of sins here if they will repent and be baptized. And as probably many of you already realize, these people already had eternal life. Verse 37. They believed what Peter was preaching. So they were already eternally saved. So they already had eternal life. Now Peter says, I'm offering you the forgiveness of sins. So the forgiveness of sins and eternal life are not the same thing. Okay, we'll talk more about that later. What about Acts chapter 22, verse 16? This is Paul's description of how he became a believer and what happened to him. If I ask you, when did Paul receive eternal life? My guess is that all of you all would say, on the road to Damascus. And you would be right. You would pass that test. He received eternal life on the road to Damascus. A few days later, Ananias comes to him and says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Once again, we see the washing away of sins, the forgiveness of sins, is not the same thing as receiving eternal life. Not the same thing as being born from above, of being spiritually saved from the lake of fire. The forgiveness of sins is something that the people in Acts 2 and Paul's case, they received it later. And again, there's lots of good material out there. Zane, lots of people have written on this, that this was a, this was something for the first generation of Jews there in the book of Acts, that they received eternal life, but before they received the forgiveness of sins, God required something else of them. And all I want you to see is they're not the same thing. Forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life. And then if we bring it down to us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here John is talking to believers, and believers receive the forgiveness of sins when they confess their sins. And so the forgiveness of sins, and these people already had eternal life, but in some sense they needed their sins forgiven when they committed a sin. And so it's not the same thing. And of course, the New Testament is full of this teaching that receiving eternal life and having your sins forgiven are not the same thing. Okay? What's the difference? Well, what is the difference between the two? I don't need to be a jerk here, but eternal life is eternal life. That's what it means. A believer receives eternal life the moment they believe in Jesus for it. It is theirs. It is something that cannot be lost by definition. It's eternal. And if it's eternal, it cannot end. That's what eternal life is. The forgiveness of sins is not that. The forgiveness of sins is something that allows the believer to have fellowship or intimacy with the Lord, and that fellowship can be lost. And that's why John says in 1 John 1:9 that we need, when we sin and the Word of God reveals our sin to us, we need to confess that sin in order to receive the forgiveness of sins, in order that our fellowship can be restored with the Lord. So eternal life is something that the believer has forever. It is at the moment of faith. It can never be lost. The forgiveness of sins is something that we need to continually experience if we want to have fellowship with the Lord. And forgiveness of sins at the moment of faith allows us to have that fellowship with the Lord. But they're not the same thing. There's a difference. A believer can need to be forgiven. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. As a believer, I never need to receive eternal life again. That's never an issue. So once again, you see the differences. By the way, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they receive eternal life. They also receive the forgiveness of sins, but those are separate things. They also receive many other things, but they're not the same thing. Very simply, eternal life is a permanent possession of the Lord or of the believer at the moment of faith when they believe in Jesus for eternal life. The forgiveness of sins is something that we need to do on a continuing basis. And it deals with fellowship with the Lord. I'm out of fellowship with the Lord. I still have eternal life. Okay, the second problem with seeing the forgiveness of sins as an acceptable gospel presentation is when we look at the Gospel of John. And as many of you all know, the Gospel of John is the only book written to unbelievers. It is the only book telling people how to be saved from the lake of fire, how to be spiritually saved, how to have eternal life. What does the Gospel of John say? The forgiveness of sins is never used in the gospel presentation in the Gospel of John. Okay, that tells me a lot right there. Why should I do that then? But okay, it is only mentioned one time in the Gospel of John, and that's found in John chapter 20, verse 23, where Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is the only place in the Gospel of John where the phrase forgiveness of sins occurs. So just stepping back, if the Gospel of John is a book written to tell us how to tell unbelievers how to be spiritually saved, and he doesn't use the phrase, then we shouldn't either. It's not a good policy to follow. And by the way, here in John chapter 20, verse 23, the forgiveness of sins is talking about forgiveness within the church, forgiveness among believers. And by the way, that makes sense if we see the forgiveness of sins as a fellowship issue. And so the Gospel of John does not use the forgiveness of sins, telling the unbeliever you need to believe that your sins are forgiven. I mean, think about all the gospel presentations of the Lord in the Gospel of John, with Nicodemus, with the woman at the well, in John 5, in John 6, in John 11. He doesn't tell them you need to believe in me for the forgiveness of sins. Because he's writing to tell people that what they need to believe in him for is eternal life. That's what they need to believe in him for. And it's ironic to me that when you hear these gospel presentations, like those gospel tracts I put up there, one of the things that really stands out to me is when people say, well, the forgiveness of sins is the same thing as believing in him for eternal life. If you believe in him for the forgiveness of sins, you have eternal life. What's ironic to me is when you hear them, they always talk about the forgiveness of sins and they never talk about eternal life. I mean, just listen sometime. Listen to these gospel presentations and listen to how many times you hear, believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. And then notice how many times they never say, believe in him for eternal life. Believe in him that you'll live with him forever. Believe in him that you'll be in his kingdom and you'll be with him forever. They don't say that. They talk about the forgiveness of sins. And so here's the Gospel of John that uses eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. And they know, and it doesn't mention forgiveness of sins, but we go forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins, but we don't mention eternal life. And so the second problem that I have with this way of presenting the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, is that the Gospel of John doesn't use it that way. And that should be a loud warning siren for us. As I said there in John chapter 20, verse 23, that's dealing, the only time John mentions it is with believers. Okay, third problem is practical issues. And I know practical issues do not determine our doctrine. I understand that. But there are some practical issues. If believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins saves somebody from lake of fire, then what I would say is we don't need to evangelize anybody because hundreds of millions of people in the United States already believe that. That's the gospel that you hear. And not only here, but I would also say in other countries. We've already got bazillions of evangelists preaching this. Forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of sins. Bob mentioned that I was a military chaplain. One of my bosses one time was a Christian Scientist. And I had a little problem with him because we had to preach together in the chapel. And he was my boss, and my career was in his hands. And I didn't want to preach with him. In fact, I decided I wasn't going to preach with him because he was a Christian Scientist, and I'd done a little bit of reading, and they believe some really weird stuff, you know. And so I said, I don't want to preach in a pulpit with you. And what I mean by that is like doing the announcements, and like when he would do communion, he would do it, and I would pass the elements around. I said, I just can't do that. And so I went to his office and I said, hey, I can't preach with you. And he goes, why not? And he says, well, you and I don't believe in the same thing. He goes, of course we believe in the same thing. He goes, I'm a Christian just like you are. And I said, well, what do you believe? He says, I believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. I have believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe that he died on the cross for me. And my sins are forgiven in him. I was a Christian Scientist. But that's not the only time I ran into this. I had another friend who was a Mormon chaplain. And we had a conversation over lunch one time, and I said, Marsh, I said, do you feel kind of weird preaching at a Protestant chapel knowing that your beliefs are heretical to everybody in that chapel? And he goes, no, I'm not a heretic at all. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He goes, I believe every single word of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. He goes, I'm not a heretic. Paul says that's the gospel by which I'm saved, and I believe the same thing you do. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose from the dead, and I believe I have in him the forgiveness of sins. That's some practical issues. If the forgiveness of sins is sufficient, then what the Christian Scientist chaplain, the Mormon chaplain, was saying to me was, they're saved. By the way, the Catholic Church believes that they have the forgiveness of sins through Christ. I worked with tons of Catholic chaplains through the years, and they all told me that. We have the forgiveness of sins through Christ. Just recently, I was in it's been a few years ago, but I was in a Bible conference, and I was in a group, and it was people who identified themselves as free grace. And this was the issue. Is the Catholic Church gospel, the gospel that the Catholic Church preaches, is it a saving message? Now, the guy who was teaching the class said, I've worked with Catholics for 40 years. He goes, no, I don't believe it is. But most of the people in that room said, yes, it is. Because the Catholic Church preaches that they have the forgiveness of sins through Christ. A few years ago, I was in Ukraine teaching in a Bible college, and it was weird because it was a Baptist Bible college, but none of them believed in eternal security. I think it has something to do with the Mennonite background over there and stuff, you know. They were very upfront. They go, there is no assurance of salvation. There is no eternal security. You can lose your salvation. And I said, well, what is the message that you preach? They said, the message that we preach is you have the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. My point there is, if that is an acceptable gospel, everybody's preaching it. Our work is done. I mean, there's no need for us to go over. That message is getting preached everywhere. But what I'm arguing is it's not. Catherine and I go to Zambia and Kenya, and over in those places, those preachers say you can lose your salvation for anything, for absolutely anything. But they'll say, but my sins have been forgiven in Christ. You hear it all the time. And so I'm just saying, as a practical matter, if this is an acceptable gospel, there's no need. I mean, we might as well go back and just drink Coke and watch TV, because this message is everywhere. And then finally, the fourth problem that I have is it's awfully confusing. What does receiving the forgiveness of sins mean? When people preach that, you could see it in those gospel tracts I put up. What does it mean? Humble yourself and forgive others and you'll receive the forgiveness of sins. What did my Mormon chaplain mean? Did he mean you got to wear your special underwear? What does he mean by, you know, you'll receive the forgiveness of sins? Or the Christian Scientist, what does he mean? When someone believes in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, it can mean many different things. And the unbeliever doesn't have a clue. He does not understand what you mean. My experience with this is basically what they're saying is, because again, the Catholic Church preaches it, the Mormon Church preaches it, the Church of Christ preaches it, Arminians preach it, Lordship Salvation people preach it, everybody preaches it. Basically, I think generally speaking, what they're saying is, when you receive the forgiveness of sins, you start off with a clean slate. You're kind of like on probation. You kind of got a conditional salvation. Remember the movie Animal House where the dean says you're on double secret probation? It's kind of like that. I have forgiveness of sins, and now if I live holy, if I do this, if I do that, maybe I'll make it into the kingdom. When I was in the Army, there was a school I really wanted to go to, and it was called Jump Master School. And the only reason I wanted to go to it is because I was a guy with a lot of testosterone, and that was the only reason. And basically, it's the guy that when you jump out of planes, it's the guy who leads everybody jumping out, and you inspect everybody. And I thought, how cool would it be to do that? You know, so I wanted to do it. But the problem is it was a very, it was a tough course, but it was also a very, you had standards and you had to meet them, and there wasn't any playing with it. There wasn't no bending the rules. And, basically you got tested four times. You had to inspect three, jumpers with their, all their equipment on, and they had mistakes in there, purposely in there, and you had to find them. And you had to follow a pattern. You had to do it within 5 minutes and all this other stuff. Well, it was a very hard course, and the first test, when you went through it, 85% failed it. And I was one of those 85%. So I go through there, and I do it, and I blew it. And the guy who taught the course took me aside, and he goes, "Chaplain, shake it off. You're forgiven." You start off with a clean slate. Now, what did he mean by that? Does he mean, oh, you're a jump master? No. What he said is, you got three more tests, buddy. But right now, you've been forgiven. And now, you still got to meet that standard. And when you hear people preach that, that's what the unbeliever hears too. You're forgiven. Now, what do they mean? Okay, now I can't smoke anymore. I can't drink anymore. I can't go to the bar anymore. And if I do all these things, maybe when I get to the gate, Peter's going to say, hey, you're good to go. That's what they mean by that. It is extremely confusing. And by the way, when you hear something like in 1 John 1:9, let's say I believe my sins are forgiven. I believe I'm on that double secret probation now. Now I just got to do what I need to do. And then you read a verse like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oh, I got to keep doing that to make it into the kingdom. That's what they think. And that's the people who present these gospels. Like I said, in Kenya, when we talked about it, Catherine and I, that's exactly what they think. That's exactly what they preach. Your sins are forgiven. Now, if you get this demon cast out of you, you might make it. Or something like that. I mean, it's an extremely confusing, gospel presentation. But again, if we hold on, if we endure, if we do the sacraments, if we don't sin too bad, we got a good chance, is what they mean. We can get eternal life later. And by the way, that's what they say. You don't have to mention eternal life. Mention forgiveness of sins. They eternal life is something that they get when they get to the kingdom. As long as they understand they have forgiveness now, and we can get final salvation later. You don't have to believe in eternal life now. And by the way, also, you can see the way people are presenting this gospel. If this is all true, then there's a lot of different ways to present the gospel. Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and get baptized, and you'll go to heaven. Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and do this, endure. And by the way, even 1 Corinthians 15, if we endure, if we hold on fast, we'll make it. And that is exactly what they mean. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and I wrote it down, and I was listening to on a podcast. And the guy starts off, and he says, "Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If you do, you are saved, and you cannot lose that salvation." And I heard that, and I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "That is great." Because notice what he does. He says, "You cannot lose it." But it was weird because it was an Arminian preacher that I was listening to. I said, "Man, that's bizarre. You know, what does he mean?" And I wish he had stopped right there. I just wish he'd have stopped. Believe in Jesus. You'll be saved forever and you can never lose it. I said, man, I just wish he would just shut up right there. You know, but he didn't. You all remember the movie As Good As It Gets? There's a scene there where, Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt are sitting at a dinner, and he's a real jerk. He always says stupid things. He always says things that hurts people. And she hates his guts, but she's beginning to like him, and they're at a dinner. And he says something really nice, and then he wants to say something, and she goes, I really don't want you to say something because I'm so afraid of what you're going to say. And he did. He says, how come I got to wear a nice suit and you get to wear an ugly dress and get into this restaurant? You remember that scene? And then he says something else and she gets up and storms out. Well, that's the way this sermon was. This guy, he was preaching and I said, just stop. Don't say anything else. But he went on. Here's what he said. However, after saying forgiveness of sins and you can't lose your salvation, he says, however, this is word for word, be careful. If you keep sinning, your sins will harden your heart, and a hardened heart can lead you into serious sin. You can lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation, but with a hardened heart, you can give it back. How bizarre is that, right? Does that mean I got to start questions? Okay. And when I heard that sermon, I didn't even know what he meant. What does that mean? What is that? He preached forgiveness of sins, but what does it mean? Obviously, he's preaching a gospel of works, and obviously, the forgiveness of sins and receiving eternal life are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Many believe that their sins are forgiven, but they don't believe they have eternal life. They believe they got to work in order to obtain it. They believe they can lose it, even if they temporarily have it. And they don't know if they have it or not. You've been forgiven, what they're basically saying, now get to work. What does the unbeliever think when he hears that? He has no concept of the gospel of eternal life that they can never lose. So, what we must do is we must proclaim eternal life. That's what the Gospel of John does. I'm hurrying so I can get through the questions here. Christ died for our sins to take away the barrier of sin so that he could give us eternal life. But that's what he's promising us. And that's what we have to believe in. Believing in the forgiveness of sins is not the same thing as believing in him for eternal life. Now, I was going to do Acts 2:10-43, but I ran out of time, so I won't do that. But if you ask it, I'll answer the question. We'll do that's what we'll do there. Okay, that's how I was going to end. What about Acts 10:43? I just want to say there are some verses that people will use to say, "Hey, isn't forgiveness of sins the same thing as believing in Him for eternal life?"
Let's give a hand.